New Perspectives in partnership with Live and Local present Alford Stories, a podcast which takes a trip around this historic market town called Alford, collecting tales from the people and places on the edge of the Lincolnshire Wolds, just 7 miles from the east coast. Episode 5, Arresting Alford.
I've got to be careful what I say, because some of the people I could tell you about are still alive today, and I wouldn't like to, because of we can all make silly mistakes when we're younger, can't we? And I always felt that I tried to deal with people fairly and compassionately, but firmly as well. You've got to think of the victim, but you've got to think that some of the people that became criminals were victims themselves, if you could help them and prevent them reoffending, you're actually doing far more than keep catching them. I first moved to this area in 1979 when I actually moved to Mablethorpe as the detective constable for this area. And part of the area that I covered was Mablethorpe, Alford and Chapel St Leonard's. So all the crime that came reported was put through my office. And clearly Alford I've had a long association with Alford because my father used to live just outside of Alford and in fact attended Alford Grammar School as a boy. So I've got quite a lot of history tying me to this area. The court at that time was down, I can't remember what the name of the street is now, Park Lane. And it was, in its day, it was the superintendent's house, the court and the police station. But when I was here, it was just the court, because the police station, they built a new independent police station, which is on Station Road. The local police operated out of. And the court was always considered that it was my court because I was a resident detective and the magistrates always considered me to be their policeman because I was the resident detective attached. So all my cases, most of my cases went through that court. And on court date, or the day before court date, I used to speak to the chairman of the bench, make sure that everything was okay, find out if anybody needed a lift to court because they couldn't get in because of all sorts of problems, and then make sure they all got taken home afterwards, or make sure they were able to get home afterwards. So it was, although it's almost incestual, it was a very good system that worked quite closely, and I think that that's a good way that they knew their local police detective and can trust that when you went in, they knew that you were telling the truth, and they knew that you knew the area. So it was quite good. I think I've told you before that Alford is one of the only towns I know of that's got three existing police stations. There's one at the back of the Corn Exchange, which was the first one, which, when it was sold off, actually became an accountant's, and they used to use the cells as their strong room. And then the one I was telling you about, which is up Park Lane, which closed down and when they built the new small one out on Station Road. But sadly, the one on Station Road now looks like it's going to close. So we'll go from having three to three non-existent ones. And when I first came here, there were one sergeant, seven constables, actually doing the Alford policing. And we have none left now, which just shows how times move on. It's the way that the police operate now. They're far more mobile, they're far more into modern technology to assist them with it. I think the days of wearing your shoe leather out have gone. You never see a policeman on the beat now, not in the rural areas. But they are still here and they're still dealing with things. But you don't have a resident detective anymore. It no longer exists. And it's funny that when the court changed down Park Lane, I was the last detective to give evidence in that court. I was the last policeman to give evidence in that court.
And are you allowed to tell us what evidence that was?
I can't remember the case. It's just one of those cases that... I think it was an old gentleman by the name of Eric Padmore, is my recollection, but I'm not 100% sure. And Eric was someone who moved here from Leicestershire and lived in all sorts of different accommodations in Mablethorpe. Real character. And I have a feeling in my mind that he was actually up for shoplift. And he was not a thief, really. He was just mischievous. But he stole two shoes out of a display outside of a shop in Mablethorpe. And when the magistrates asked him how he pleaded, he said, not guilty. He says, well, how do you work that out, Mr. Padmore? Because you've told us that you did take these shoes. He says, ah, but they're all right shoes, and two lefts don't make a wrong. No, all left shoes, sorry, and two left shoes don't make a wrong. And it was quite funny because the chairman of the bench at that time, we used to have a bit of a laugh, and he gave him a conditional discharge and committed him to my custody for 24 hours. And that was his way of getting me back for taking that case to court.
So what did you do with him for 24 hours?
I took him home, tucked him in, my wife that was then. We cooked him a meal and took it round to him, and I told him we got to stay in and couldn't come out for 24 hours.
He had the best 24 hours he'd ever had with his cooked meal.
Yeah, it was some good times, some really fun times. But it's a whole different world now. Yeah. Whole different world.
So what years were you the detective for then?
I was here from 1979 until 1983. Mm-hmm. 83, that was 4 years I did.
Yeah, so very different now.
Yes, oh, absolutely. Yeah. All, when you look back, a lot of them seem odd. I suppose one of the hardest ones to get my head round was the murder at Sutton-on-Sea, at Drusthorpe. That was took a lot of effort by a lot of detectives. And I know when the detective superintendent came and was asking us about local people who could fit the profile of possible offenders, and we actually pulled the print out of known offenders living in my patch, he could not believe the volume of people who had a criminal offence who lived in this area.
Really?
And most of those were people who moved into the area from away.
Do you think they moved here to get away from other crimes?
Not particularly. People who in their past had fallen by the wayside, but had come here to retire in their older years, yeah. When I left the police in 2005 and retired as the inspector from my last operational job was operational in charge at Louth, which covers Louth, Mablethorpe, Alford and the coastal strip. That was my last operational job. But not long after I left the police, I became the county councillor for this area. So I have had a long, long association with Alford. And in fact, I am still the district councillor for Alford, together with a lady that's here, Sarah Devereux. I'm the district. I'm the deputy leader at East Lindsay, and she's on the executive with me. It's the three councils. That's South Holland, Boston Borough, and East Lindsay. Decided, looking towards the future, decided some 2 years ago to actually join together as a partnership, and it's the largest partnership in the country now of independent sovereign councils joining to work together. And we bid for the Luff money, which is the Levelling Up Fund money. And we were very successful in the bids for East Lindsay. We got the money for the windmill, the money for the manor house, and also a substantial amount, two point something million, for the, funnily enough, the theatre at Spilsby, which is also a disused courtroom and police station that I served in as well when I was at Wakefleet before I moved to Mablethorpe.
And now it's a theatre?
It's a theatre now.
So it's had some drama over many, many years.
Yes, it was.
Some drama.
Yeah, that court was one level down from the Crown Court at Lincoln. In its day, it was quite an important, yeah, prestigious place. And in fact, at the back, it still got its cells and the whipping post where they carried out punishment and all the bits.
So we see a lot of detective dramas on the TV. What's your tactic to get the truth out of somebody or to find the... I suppose it's piecing together, seeing a pattern and following information that other people wouldn't realise was there.
Yeah, I think the... to think about the more serious crimes, the murders and the armed robberies and things like that, it's a team effort. It's not just down to one person. And it's the way that the computerised system that they use, which is called HOMES, which is Home Office Major Inquiry System, puts together and it checks detail and cross-references things in a far quicker manner than you could ever do manually. But it's the way it is, and we just got to accept that technology is so important for eliminating people. And of course, we've got the magic of DNA now. Fingerprints was a big thing when I was in, but DNA was just starting to come out and be useful. But it's progressed so much more now. One of the most intricate ones, and was really took a lot of time and involvement with, was not particularly around this area, but I did it when I was, or I headed it when I was the inspector at Skegness, and that was a team who were importing flowers, setting up ghost companies, paying the first delivery or two, and then ordering, getting the confidence of the suppliers, and then ordering really large amounts of flowers and not paying for them, and running up hundreds of thousands of pounds of debt, and then just vanishing. And we went into Europe with that one, and with a brand new identification system. And did inquiries over there, and of course it was a whole new ball game for me, because we had to work with the local police over there. We had to take statements in English and then have them all translated into, they were taken in the native tongue and then all translated into English so we could present it in the English courts. And at the end of that, those of us that worked on it, we all got a commendation by the judge for the painstaking work it took to get that case to court.
And what's the stories of the old smugglers coming here, and many hundreds of years ago, I suppose? What's the story behind
that? Well, yeah, I mean, it's myth and legend, isn't it? But there obviously clearly was smugglers and people carrying out all sorts of that sort of operation, because we are so near the coast. I mean, Saltfleet was quite a busy little place at one time, and it in its very nature would generate people trying to subvert the revenue people. I think all of the more serious ones, you tend to have a sense of relief when it's finished, because it, although they say policemen are professional witnesses, and I suppose they are, because we are trained to give evidence and all the rest of it, it's still very, very stressful to be in a, particularly a Crown Court, and give evidence in front of all those learned people that think they're so much better than you are, and all you are is Jack Jones from down the road at the local police station presenting what you think is the honest facts. And no, that's absolutely the truth. And that's why the police numbers have reduced, because when I was a policeman, the policemen were spread out in a far more ordered way. But now it's targeted policing, if you like. And if you've got an area where you see no policemen, the chances are you've got no crime. So you move your policemen to the areas where you have crime, where they can have the most effect. And fortunately, Alford is a very quiet area normally.
Arresting Alford featured Councillor Graham Marsh in conversation with Jane Williams, with sound design by Adam P. McCready. Alford Stories is produced by New Perspectives Theatre Company in partnership with Live and Local, supported using public funding from Arts Council England.